Good morning. We are glad that you're here today to worship with us. And to our delight, we have two baptisms this morning, two young ladies from the Harper family. And so I would invite you to direct your attention here as we observe this ordinance before us. Brianna, this is Brianna Harper. Brianna, have you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And what is your testimony?
I accept Jesus.
Okay, you have trusted Jesus and you accept him into your heart. And so, Brianna Harper, because you have trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's your desire to follow him in this obedience of baptism. I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, Chloe. Chloe, have you trusted Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
What is your testimony?
I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
Okay, you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Chloe, because you have trusted Christ, it's your desire now to follow him in this obedience of baptism. I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Allow me to pray with you at this time. Our God and our Father, we are so humbled before your grace that you would bring us into your kingdom, having cleansed us from our sin because of the sacrifice of Christ Jesus, by grace through faith in his work of that sacrifice and then in his resurrection. Lord God, it is a blessing to be born again into your church, your family, so that we might live forever. We pray today, Father, that through this ordinance that we have seen these two testify of dying to self and coming alive to you, and that, Lord God, that they would have our prayers, that you would fill them with your Spirit, that we would be faithful to minister to their needs in the days to come as they grow in their faith and to be used by you. We pray you're glorified through this, that your ministry, your work on earth, your kingdom will be expanded. And that, Lord God, we will experience great joy at the sight. We love you. We invite you to be in our midst this morning. Stir our hearts to be drawn to you as well as to one another. Would be our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Welcome this morning. And another great way to start a service off with baptism. And all. And next Sunday, we'll be having another baptism. So we encourage you to be here again for that. This month on Operation Christmas Child, we're collecting school supplies, so you still have another week or so to get that in. And if you've already donated, we appreciate that. And if you're going to, of course, you can donate anytime you want to and all. So, and we appreciate Jan and the work that she does on Operation Christmas Child. If you're our visitor today and there is a tear-off section in your bulletin, we'd appreciate if you could fill that out, turn it in so we can have a record of your visit. And if you have anything you'd like for us to do to help you with anything, just put that on there. We'd be glad to contact you and pray with you or go through anything, questions about our church that you might have. And while I have the bulletin out, of course, I'm going to jump ahead on the last bulletin here that I'm supposed to read is read your bulletin. But I do want to point one thing out. We have a growing collection at the Lost and Found there at the Welcome Center. So we need you to check through that because after a while, if they're not collected, they're going to be donated. So, children and youth, when your parents hit 30 or older, you know, you go, they're old. So you might want to take them by their hand, lead them over there and see if your parents forgot anything here at church, okay? Because they might forget about it by the end of the service, okay? So help us out on that. But anyway, check the lost and found if you think you've lost anything or if you think your children's lost anything and kind of check it through there. And we'd appreciate that. There is this Wednesday at 6 o'clock, in the music suite, there will be a makeup training for the Child Protection Training Class. So if you were not able to make it back on May 7th, we're doing it again this Wednesday at 6 o'clock in the music suite. If you're 18 or older, you must have this training in order to help out with any children or youth that are under the age of 18. You must have this training. Okay, so Wednesday night, 6 o'clock in the music suite. Okay. VBS, Vacation Bible School, there's volunteer forms in the pew backs. Please fill them out and put in the basket at the Welcome Center. Okay, that's coming up very quickly. Okay, starting, I believe, June 5th is correct. It's the start date for VBS, so it's coming up very, very quickly. Also, today is the last chance to order a VBS shirt if you're interested. And if you'd like to get one, talk to Rochelle DeLeon. Rochelle, are you here? Oh, she's up here in the balcony. Okay, there she is, waving big up there. Okay, but just catch her at the end of the service, and she'll be glad to take care of that for you. Let's see, nomination forms. You have one that was put inside your bulletin. Okay, this is for our Youth Associate Pastor Search Committee. Today is the day that they're due. Okay, so please, you can just, I guess they can put these in offering plates if they need to. Just fold them, put them off to you. If that's the easiest way for you to turn them in, that's fine. And then on June 4th, we will be voting on the search committee. Okay, and tonight at 5:30, there is a church conference. Church conference tonight at 5:30. And again, check your bulletin for any other announcements. And also, I know the church emails announcements out to you also, so I hope you had a chance to read those. And our deacon prayer this morning will be by Brother Ike Peterson.
Let us pray. Our Father, how good it is to be in your house. Lord, we earnestly and humbly pray that you would quiet and still our minds. Lord, we ask you, dear God, to fill with your spirit our hearts. We invite you into this place. Lord, we so desperately need you, and pray that we be attentive to all that you have to say today, that we would take it in our hearts and let what you teach us just flow through our hands. Move, Lord, to some way serving you and bringing glory and honor to you. Thank you. We do thank you, dear God, for our visitors today. And pray they feel your power and presence in this place. Lord, we pray your spirit flow today through each and every one of our hearts. When we leave this place, know that we've been in your presence and changed. And we thank you for your blood that was shed that we might have forgiveness of sin. Forever grateful. Please forgive us, dear God, where we've sinned against you. Guide and direct our lives in such a manner that your name would be high and lifted up. Lord, we do pray your Holy Spirit anointing upon our pastor, Brother Robert. Lord, when we sing to you, it would be a sweet sound in your ear. Lord, bless, anoint Brother Houston as he leads us into this time of worship. Indeed, dear God, we love you. Thank you that you allow us this near to you in prayer. Save the lost, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, I do want to give you just a little bit of a tech warning. Our screens this morning have split 3 times on us already just during our practices up here. If that happens, please bear with us. We're not going to be able to turn it off and fix it for a little bit on that. So I just kind of want to let you kind of warning. I won't know what happens because my screen stays good. So if you're up here in the choir, see, you got a good screen all the time. Okay, so we'd be glad to have you. Got plenty more chairs in the back. We would love to have it. In fact, we could put the choir out here, congregation right here. That's how many I'd like to have in it. That'd be awesome. Okay, but anyway, I just want to kind of give you a notice. If it does happen, I just apologize, and we're trying to get tech stuff fixed around here. Would you please stand as we sing Great Is Thy Faithfulness with the chorus beginning to end.
Thou.
next song will be Come Thou Fount. The gentleman that wrote this was a minister in England, and he wrote this hymn during his ministry. And then he got to the point where he didn't feel like he was longer called to the ministry, and he left the ministry. In fact, his own words, he went way away from God. He just turned his back on God. And there was one day going through the English countryside, he was riding in a coach, might think of it like a stagecoach, you know. And there was another lady in there that was getting the ride also. They were traveling to London. And she began singing this hymn, the hymn that he wrote. And she looked at him, because he kind of had this look on his face. And he said, "Sir, have you heard this?" And he says, "Why, yes, I'm the one that wrote that." And he says, "Well, you just must have had a blessed life to write words of love like that to your Lord." And he said it was at that point that he realized where he was in his life. And it was his own words that brought him back to God. Amen. And so he turned around, repented, and it was his own hymn that he wrote that says, "Saved His Soul." And I just think that's just a wonderful story about that song and all that. I just thought I would share that little bit of history with you. Because even those that are strong in the Lord do have their days where they venture away. But God is so good, and He has so much mercy, so much grace, that He will welcome you back. You can always come back, repent your sins, okay, and have Lord Jesus Christ your Savior at all times. Okay? Our next song is hymn number 334, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
Purchase of God.
Praise Hymn number 248, God, Our Father, We Adore Thee.
Offering and be with the pastor as he brings the message. It's in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Bless the Lord.
Oh,
Thank you for being here this morning. A couple of items. First, I would like to thank you. Those many of you have expressed your condolences for me and my family over the last couple of weeks. We appreciate that. So many of you attended the service. My family was very impressed with the support that the church showed through our time of loss, and I just want you to know you made an impact, and I appreciate that very much. It means a lot to myself and to Laura for your support. Also, if you will, keep in mind Miss Tina down in the nursery, Tina White. She has served in our nursery for quite some time. She has been diagnosed with a mass, and they have done a biopsy. And now they're waiting for a report, and she's very anxious, and it's been a long time. So pray that they will expedite that report back to her so that she can know what she's going to be doing in the days to come. She's very anxious. She might want to just say a word. Our nursery workers are much like these who sit in the crow's nest here. They're kind of the people outside our vision, and sometimes they get lost in the mix. We want them to know that we care for them very much and that they serve a big way in this church. Imagine you sitting in there taking care of all those babies. Yeah, that's a big job, even though it's on little people. It's a big job, and we appreciate them. This morning we will be concluding the series I began many weeks ago on worship through the songs of the ascents. In the book of Psalms, there are Psalms 120 through 134 that are songs specifically designed for and utilized by Jewish worshipers, pilgrims, who would be making their way to Jerusalem for the three annual feasts that they were mandated to attend. The Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles were those three main feasts. And as the Jewish pilgrims were making their way, they would sing songs to prepare themselves to be in the presence of the Lord God. And I felt that it was important enough for us to look at some of the aspects of preparation. What does it take to be in the presence of the Lord? What should I be doing to be in the presence of the Lord when I come in to worship? We should be preparing ourselves. Laura and I, each Saturday evening, we pray for this church, all of you and myself and her, that we'll be prepared and we'll be ready to meet with God on the Lord's day. And so I hope that you're giving attention to that and that these studies, these times looking and examining these little psalms have been helpful. We've kind of looked at being prepared in spite of adversity, people coming against us or persecution, trusting that the Lord is the one who's the keeper of the believer. We're not the keepers of our own souls. You can't save yourself, you can't keep yourself, but the Lord God can and will for those who are faithful to Him. We do have a part in being obedient and being faithful to Him, but He's the one who keeps us in His arms. Then praying for Jerusalem as a place that God has chosen to be a place of favor. And listen, Jerusalem will be the center point of the new kingdom one day. And so it's a very special place. And the place is important because the God who is there is important. And that we looked at to make sure that we're worshiping God and not just this building. Remembering how the Lord's rescued us from captivity, that prosperity we have comes from the Lord, to fear the Lord, to entrust any enemies we have to the Lord, the blessing of the forgiveness of God toward those who believe and those who worship Him, and then how we love God, love one another. And I think we looked at the unified brethren, how blessed it is to come together and be unified with one another. And then this last song, it's kind of a departure song, as you were. Very brief, only three verses, but we will spend a little bit of time here. The subtitle here is Greetings of Night Watchers, and as we'll look at in just a moment, there were those that were participants even through the night around the tabernacle or the temple when it was finally built. And so we're going to look at this passage of Scripture and find how it might apply to us. So stand with me as we read these three verses this morning. Psalm 134, verses 1 through 3. Behold, bless the Lord, all servants of the Lord, who serve by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth. Very brief. Let's pray together. Father, as we examine these few verses, we pray, Father, that we will be true to its original intent. Lord God, we will find a way to make application of it to our own experience here in 2023 and beyond. We pray, Father, that in order for that to happen, that your Holy Spirit would have freedom to move in our midst and to give us understanding, enlighten our hearts. Lord God, fill us and prompt us to do that which would honor you and bring glory to your name. Thank you for the family of faith. Thank you that we come from and are birthed by a mighty God. It's a spiritual rebirth, and that it is eternal, and that it brings glory to your name. Lord God, you're worthy of our worship. We come this morning praying that you touch our lives and give us understanding as we study together in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless. You may be seated. So this song lends itself to the pilgrim's expression when he is departing, when he's leaving the worship setting. We have looked at these other psalms, what to be preparing for, what to experience when we're there and now as we're departing worship. Having been in the presence of the Lord, experienced his goodness, having opportunity to sing praises to him from our heart, to reflect upon the blessings that have been poured out into our lives, especially salvation. Listen, that's the first blessing you really ought to desire, is the spiritual blessing of God, of transformation of your heart to become his child, spiritually born again into his kingdom. That should be a priority for us. And then once you have that, the other blessings will fall into place. Jesus himself said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be yours. They will come to you. So there is this priority that we seek the Lord first, and I pray that you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. If not, that he would prompt you even today to do that. And so this precious time with the Lord, experiencing what it is to sit before him and to have him pour his blessings into us and understanding, instruction for life, correction in some situations so that we might walk with him properly. And then when we're leaving, to have this kind of heart that's found here in this psalm. When I first looked at this psalm, I thought, oh, this is nice that it says, greetings of night watchers. Behold, bless the Lord, all the servants of the Lord. And it can almost sound like just bless the servants of the Lord who serve by night in the house of the Lord. But it's really a call to those who do serve to bless the Lord. It's to be a blessing to the Lord. It is good for us to bless the Lord. You might think, how in the world can we bless the Lord? He has it all. He's the King of glory. He's the God of all gods. He's the Lord of lords. How can we bless him? God has created mankind so that he might be glorified through them. Salvation of their hearts brings him glory. It brings him blessing. God is blessed by that. He finds joy and delight in those that are his, that are born into his kingdom. He loves it. There are scripture passages that tell us he dances over you. He sings over you. He rejoices over you who belong to him. He loves you. He delights in his children. And it is good when his children raise up and bless him and praise his name. As a parent, I'm always impacted when my children will say, Dad, thank you for the ways that you guided me through this particular situation. You were faithful to what the Lord guided you to do. That brings a blessing to my heart. How often do we say that to God? Lord God, thank you for bringing me through this difficult time, through this time of loss, through this time of the loss of a job and uncertainty and trying to seek for some kind of stability. Thank you, Father, that you have come through that. That blesses the Father when we come to him. Do you remember the one instance in the New Testament? Jesus comes across this group of lepers, 10 lepers, and they cry out for healing, and he says, you're healed. Now go to the priest and show yourself. And while they were going, one of them realized, oh, I've been made whole. And he turns around and comes back to give thanks to Jesus. And Jesus says, is there only one that's come back? There were 10 of you. Where are the other 9? And he says, well, I've come back to give you thanks because you cleansed me. And he noted, this one's just a Samaritan too. He's not even a Jew. But he's a Samaritan, and he came back to give thanks. It impressed Jesus' heart that one would come back to give thanks. How often have we blessed the Lord? How often have we given him thanks for the blessing he's poured out into our lives? He desires that. He delights in it. We should desire that. Here, this psalm says, behold, here's, give me your attention. Bless the Lord, all the servants of the Lord who serve by night in the house of the Lord. And this is a giant boast. As we apply thinking about the servants of the Lord who serve by night in the house of the Lord, there's a little historical perspective we ought to have there. I'm going to try to get through this quickly as possible. There is a lot. When you read through the Old Testament, look at the books of Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, you find that there's a lot of instruction that were given to those who were of the Levites tribe. And there were 12 sons of Jacob or Israel. And one of those was Levi. And the Levites were chosen by God to be the specific servants of the Lord who would take care of the tabernacle when it was built, who would be the spiritual instructors of the people, who would take care of all of the furniture and the structure that put the thing together, all of the oils and the incense. They would have responsibility for that. Not only the offerings when they were offered and taking care of those things, but they would have those responsibilities regarding all the spiritual things of God, instructing God's people. And so they were important, and they were designated servants of the Lord. Moses and Aaron descended from that tribe of Levi. And some of the things that they had to do, we mentioned a moment ago, the offerings of the sacrifices were a major part of the activity there. But there were other duties that were done outside the daytime, okay, at night, when most of the people would be in their tents and they would be sleeping and getting ready for the next day. There were servants inside the tabernacle or in the temple. And those servants were to make sure that the light stayed on the candlestick. There was a menorah there. And it really wasn't a candlestick as much as it was a lamp. It was a lamp formed out of bronze. And the only way those lamps kept running was to keep oil in it. They had a special olive oil that they used, and that kept the lamps lit. And for the lamps to be lit all night long, the priests, the Levites, had to go in there and make sure the oil was full in the menorah that would keep the light burning all night long. It was to be a perpetual light according to what God commanded Moses and the Levites. It was to be a light that burned all the time. It's no accident that when Christ came, he was introduced by the Apostle John in John chapter 1 as that light that came into the world. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He was a witness that he might bear witness of that light, that all might believe through him. He wasn't the light, but he came that he might bear witness of that light. And there was this true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But whoever receives him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Those not born of blood, nor born of the will of the flesh, nor born of the will of man, but born of the will of God. And so this light was to come, and to be a light in the darkness. And it was Christ Jesus himself. In fact, in John chapter 8, he said, "I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. I've come into this place of darkness to shine a light." In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, Jesus actually instructs the people of God and said, "You are the light of the world. You're supposed to go out and do deeds of goodness before the world so that the world may see those deeds and glorify God who's in heaven." A light that burns in perpetual darkness. You know what darkness is? It's just the absence of light. Light is the presence of God. And the presence of God is found in his people. But here there was a symbolic picture with the candlesticks, the lamps that were in that place of prayer, and that place of worship. And it was in the holy place. It wasn't quite the holy of holies. It was in the holy place where this lamp was lit. And only the priest could come in and keep that lit. There was something else. In that area was a bronze altar. It was the altar of incense. And there was a special incense that instructions were given in the Old Testament. Incense that were made of certain spices and herbs. And nobody else could have it. You couldn't go over to TJ Maxx and find it on the shelf and take it home for yourself. It was a special formula made for service in the temple. And it was to be kept burning all the time. And the smoke coming from that was supposed to be representative of the prayers of the people of God. And you even find that all the way in the book of Revelation, back in Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, where involved in the worship as the 24 elders and the four creatures and all the angelic hosts come together and they worship, there's this incense and the smoke that's representative of the prayers of the saints, all the saints. And so all night long, there would have to be somebody awake, alert to keeping the incense burning that represented prayers of God, as if people were praying to God all through the night, and it would be those servants that were doing that. So there's a little bit of the background. Now, on this side of the cross and the resurrection, there are designated servants of the Lord. The Apostle Paul said some are pastors, some are preachers, some are teachers, some are prophets, apostles, and these are called by God to serve. But even further than that, the scripture also indicates that all who have been born again and entrusted with the Holy Spirit, you too are a servant of the Lord God. And we all have this responsibility of keeping the light burning, even through the night, and to keep prayers going up. Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. Pray in every circumstance. We have responsibility to continue to have communication with the Father. No matter what we're putting our hands to through the day, I can tell you there are many times when I walk from the sanctuary over to my office or back to the house across the street, sometimes you'll see me, my lips are moving, I'm talking to the Lord, I'm asking him some stuff. Oh, Lord, help me with this. Oh, Lord, give me wisdom, direction for this. I'm fixing to head to a meeting. Give me direction. Help me to have a heart like Jesus. It's continuous communication with the Father. He's commanded it to us, but if we know him, we want to, as servants of the Lord. And here we find this particular song is saying, behold, give me your attention. Bless the Lord, all of you who are servants of the Lord, who serve by night in the house of the Lord. Now, we have a designated place of worship here at First Baptist Church right here. It's on Brackenridge Street and Cottonwood Street. It's right on this block. Hanover's on the backside. It's a place. But we come into this place to meet with God. We come into this place to fellowship with one another as the Spirit that indwells each believer has come together into this place. Oh, and that's something else. The Apostle Paul said, don't you know, believer, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells within you? Your body's not your own. It is the Lord's. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says that. When we come together, we are the sanctuary. We could come together in the tree out in the courtyard or across the street over into the parking lot, and we would still be the church. Doesn't have to be in this place. It's where God's people are gathered together. And anywhere we are, we can bless the Lord. And even as we depart from worship, many times when I get to stand at the door, I have the privilege to shake the hands of many as you go out this place. And some of you will say, well, you really stepped on my toes today. Thank you a lot, Pastor. Some of you will say, hey, great message. I appreciate that. Oh, I felt the Spirit move in this place today. You know what? Let's also bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you met with us today. Thank you, Lord, that you blessed our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that somebody heard the message. The Spirit moved in somebody's heart and impacted them for your glory to bring either to salvation or to a place of repentance or to a place of understanding so that they might live for you. It is an opportunity for us to bless the Lord, and he desires that from his children. Here we find that to be part of this song. Verse 2 says, lift up your hands to the sanctuary. To the sanctuary. Well, look at it further and bless the Lord. That tabernacle or that temple in the Old Testament mindset was the place where the presence of God was. In fact, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord was in that place for most of the existence of the tabernacle. And then when the temple was there, the Ark of the Covenant was there for much of that time. Now, it was abused. It was seen as a good luck charm by many in the Jewish community and was misused. Let me tell you, sometimes we can do the same thing. I wear a cross. That's not going to protect me. You know, if this cross is not even a form, a thing for me to worship. This cross is simply a reminder that it's empty now because Jesus is not on it anymore. I praise the Lord for that. That's what this cross designates. That cross behind me here, it's an empty cross. The designation is that Christ has already conquered the sin that took him to that cross. He's no longer there because he's done the work. He said it's finished. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. It's finished. And we praise the Lord for the work that that cross represents. Do not worship that cross. It has no power. It's been made by a man. It has no ears, no mouth, no hands, no feet. Can't do a thing for you, but God can. And so we are to bless the Lord who gave us a sanctuary, a place to meet, the symbols of our faith so that we might trust him more and be instructed by them and encouraged by them but not to worship them. And here we find this instruction. Lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Lifting your hands was a form of prayer. It was a form of submission. It is like a child who comes up to its daddy or grandpa and lifts up its hands and says, I need you. I have nowhere else to go. You're my all in all. That's basically what a child does. They come to you. You hold me. Or as my granddaughter says, hold you, hold you. No, you're not going to hold me. You're not going to be able to hold me. I will hold you. And that's really what God says to us. You can't hold me, child, but I can hold you. Lift up your hands. It's a gesture. Not everybody does it. Not everybody feels comfortable doing that. But hopefully in your heart, you are lifting up your hands to him. And if you're not doing it symbolically, if you're not doing it as a gesture of, you're my God, I need you, I'm dependent upon you, I'm hoping in you, you are doing that in your heart. And you're yielded to the one who can provide everything you need for your worship, for your days of living, for wisdom, guidance as you lead your family, you impact neighbors, your coworkers, your classmates, wherever you go. The lifting of the hands is a gesture of trust in God. The other application of lifting up your hands is that now my hands are instructed and blessed by someone to go out and be active in serving the Lord. What do you put your hands to do when you leave the church building on Sunday? Are your hands about serving the Lord, finding some way to be a blessing to someone else, to represent Christ in some way by the service that you have? I've been blessed a few times by some of you in this place, sitting in the Sonic line. Someone notices I'm sitting in line behind you, and they instruct someone, hey, buy that drink for that guy in that silver car. He's my pastor. I want to bless him today. And boy, am I blessed. And I've had the privilege to do that for someone else because I've been blessed too. They put their hands to be a blessing, to lift them up in service to the Lord, to be an encouragement. Do you know that part of the ministry of the church, it's said over and over again, edify each other, encourage one another. Well, how do we do that? That's an encouragement. I don't know about you. When someone's thinking about you and you just all of a sudden, the person comes up and says, here's your drink, it's been taken care of by that person three cars ahead of you. What a blessing. That's an encouragement. And we can, it's simple. It doesn't have to be heavy-duty stuff. Sometimes it can be the simplest things, and sometimes it can be a heavy-duty thing. Somebody can't mow their own yard, but you go and you mow their lawn. Maybe you don't even let them know it's you. You just do it and get out of there. What a blessing that proves to be. Of course, don't get shot doing that. Just saying. Putting ourselves in service to the Lord is a way we lift our hands in service to God and worship to him. Jesus said, when you do this for the least of mine, you do it to me. And what a blessing that we can bless the Lord by serving others and encouraging one another. And it's not difficult to do. We're just sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We see the opportunity before us. We respond as the Spirit moves us. The Lord God is good in that. So lift up your hands to the sanctuary to bless the Lord through that service. And then verse 3 is reciprocal. I'm going to just say God does it back to you. I know there's a word there, and I can say it once out of 10 times. Reciprocity. May the Lord bless you from Zion. And that's a place, Zion, the holy hill there in Jerusalem. But it goes on to clarify, don't just, the Lord's not blessing you only from Zion, but he who made heaven and earth. You know, I love this. It doesn't say that God who's in heaven, although he is, God who made heaven and earth. God even told David, he said, you know, I build your house. You can't build mine because there's no house that can contain me. I'm God. Heavens can't even contain the Lord. He made them. Where was he before that? He was. Because he's God. And may this God created the world out of the power of his wisdom and his spoken word and put all things together as they were. May this God bless you. We ought to be about ministering to one another. Do you know how that happens? I got to thinking about this week and I etched down just a few notes here. When I look at the Old Testament, I really feel we need to start there because that's where the Bible starts. We're given 10 commandments. Think about this. The first four commandments have to do with what? Our relationship to God. You'll have no other God before you. You'll make no graven images. You don't profane the Sabbath day. You keep the Sabbath day. You don't profane the Lord's name. Four things. God first. And then the rest are about our relationship with one another. Honor your father and mother. Don't kill each other. Do not commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. And don't covet each other's stuff. It's all about each other now. But if I don't get the first four right, I'm not going to be able to handle the next six. Well, isn't that what happened when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said, well, the greatest commandment can be wrapped up in this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second's like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do you see the pattern? It is God first, the priority. Love him, worship him, yield to him, submit to him, be found in him, abide in him, and then you'll be enabled to love each other the way you're supposed to love each other, to serve each other the way you're supposed to serve, encourage one another the way you're supposed to serve. When we're in touch with the God who gave us his son, Jesus Christ, to die as a sacrifice for our sins, something none of us could do, and then rose from the dead, again, something we could not do. We will because of him, but we could never do it on our own. And then he gives us the Holy Spirit to come and dwell within us so that we have a communication with God, something else we could not do without him. We just managed to walk around in the earth and not know what to do without his Holy Spirit guiding us. But he gives us those things so that we're equipped and enabled to be able to bless one another in service. And at the same time we're doing that, we are honoring him and we're blessing him. But it's an endless circle. As we give blessing to the Lord God and we serve him, he does bless us. You may say, well, I don't have the riches in my bank account like I think I should have. Well, but Jesus said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Let me tell you, if you're serving the Lord faithfully, you're laying up treasures in heaven. You're going to have something to look forward to as you enter into glory. The presence of Christ and all the blessings that he has for you because you've been a faithful servant here. If you think that is rotten theology, I would beg you to look at what Jesus said. Just about every parable he talks about, when it's a lengthy parable, is a parable about a God, a master, who left some people in charge and responsibility with talents or with money or responsibilities. And he goes away for a season. Then he comes back and he says, what have you done with those things? Show me. There's going to be a day when we all stand before the Lord to give an account of the things done in our body, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. We're going to have to give an account for those things. It's not going to lose your salvation if you've been crummy at serving him and blessing him. You won't lose your salvation, but boy, will you feel, golly, I could have done better. And listen, all of us can. Have you ever done enough for the Lord since he saved you? I can tell you, I have regrets. I have moments I know that I should have stepped forward when I was prompted by the Spirit and I didn't, and I missed a blessing as a result of that. All of us have been there. But God's faithful. And in spite of our weaknesses and our flaws and our failures, he continues to use us. What a mighty God that we have who puts up with people like us. Huh? We owe him so much. I thought about this morning. These ladies were baptized and the testimonies. Let me tell you, y'all are a tough crowd to look into. It's scary to stand up here and to look at you guys and to preach. And when you're not used to it and you stand up there, I got to give a testimony. I accepted Jesus my Savior. Get me out of here. I was thinking about, what's my testimony? And the simplest way I could think of it is, he died for me. Lord, help me to live for you. The Apostle Paul said it this way, I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives within me. And now the life that I live by in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who died for me, loved me, gave himself for me. I can just snap it up and say, he died for me. Help me to live for him. That should be our commitment. Paul said it. Paul's a great missionary, theologian, servant of the Lord. But he saw, I can do nothing without Christ. He's got to be my life. And if I serve him first, I will serve the way I'm supposed to serve appropriately. There might be somebody in this place, you've never trusted Christ Jesus as your Savior and Lord. That's really where you have to start. Because anything you do or say, any kind gesture that you give to one another is going to be tainted by your sin. One of the Old Testament prophets said, the best we can offer to God, our best righteousness, is like filthy rags before God. But once Christ comes into your heart and he transforms you and makes you into a child of God, he enables you to be able to serve him, to point to him rather than self. And it brings glory to the Father. So that's where you have to start. Acknowledge your sin, your need for a Savior, that Jesus Christ died on the cross doing something that you could not do, taking away the power of death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. You could not die the appropriate death to take care of your sin, but Jesus did. And when he finished it, he just committed his life to the Father, and then God raised him back to life to validate his work at the cross. He has done it. He said, I finished. Now I commit my life to the Lord. And when the Lord raised him up, he let him walk with his disciples another 40 days. Then he raised him up to be seated at the right hand of the Father so he could pray for you and I who trust him every day of our lives until he brings us back to be with him. I pray that today, if you've not trusted Christ, you would do that. Or at least the seed's been planted that you might think on that and let the Spirit win. And then once you do that, and serve him. It's a joy. Come in and worship. Be filled with truth. Be filled with understanding. Leave this place ready to be his hands and feet out in the community. And see how God works in our midst. That's what he's looking for. What will he find when he comes back? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the privilege to know you. Lord God, to be born again, to have you transform me in the inner man so that I might even know you, to acknowledge my sin and my need for a Savior who's pure and perfect. And Lord God, then to fill me with your Holy Spirit and to help me, Lord God, to serve you, and then to call me to a vocation where I might have the honor to be able to preach good news every week. You're a good God. Father, to be able to be a husband and a father and a grandfather and to influence those family members and influence friends, even to influence the lost for your glory. Lord God, I pray that all of us together would bless your name this morning. Thank you for every providence, every provision that you've placed upon us. You are worthy of our worship, our adoration, our thanksgiving and praise, and our submission. Be glorified in and through us as we leave this place today. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ to your glory. Amen. Let's stand together as we have opportunity to respond. The altar will be open for you to just kneel, meet with God. I'll be glad to pray with you. Let's take time to respond.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning. Still will follow, though none.
Our Father, we thank you again for allowing us to be in your presence today. We pray, Father, thanking you for the truth that's been presented, for your word. Lord God, may the Spirit put that inside of our hearts, Lord God, so they're not just rules to follow, but so that our hearts are impressed with this reality of being in Christ Jesus and serving one who has died for us. Lord God, we thank you for your great gift of Christ Jesus, this indescribable gift. You are to be praised and thanked. Lord God, use us, would be our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. I would ask you to just give attention for a moment. I'm going to call Brianna and Chloe back up. One more thing they want to do here in front of the church. We're going to give them certificates of baptism and also a Bible from the Gideons. And so God bless you. Here you go, Chloe. God bless you, young ladies. Thank you. God bless. Give them a hand. A reminder, we do have church conference this evening. We encourage you to come and be a part of that. And have a great day. God bless, Brother Houston.
All right. How many parents out here have ever had a child that starts feeling bad, runs a fever, you call the doctor, then you go to the doctor appointment, and they're fine? Has that ever happened? That's how I feel right now with our computer. I gave you this tech warning. It worked fine. When it came time for the appointment of service, oh, it's all good. It's good now. Okay, but I'm glad it did. I think, Jerry, you must have a magic touch up there because it worked great. I appreciate that. So anyway, as we go, and I hope you'll come back for the church conference, and I'm glad all of you are here. I hope that you are glad you're here today too. Amen? It was great. We're going to sing the chorus to Blessed Assurance.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
God bless and have a great day.